Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
So tomorrow you're going to see two of those kinds of glorious Trump rallies. He'll be speaking in Wisconsin and in Michigan, and I'll be watching along with you. Friends, let's make sure that we're taking advantage of these great educational and motivational tools that these Trump rallies provide to awaken our fellow citizens that this is the leader that we need in this nation at this point in time, and that he reminds us always that it is we who are running for 47th president of the United States. We, because we're a movement. We're a movement. You know what the left, whatever the left says at any given point in time in complaint against President Trump or us, the MAGA movement, they're complaining about something that they themselves are guilty of doing. So when they say that he's a dictator, wants all power to himself or whatnot, that's what those people want. That's what the Democrats do. They want to be they want this country to be a one-party system under the dictatorial control of their lunatic, ridiculous, deluded, demented people. And on the other hand, what President Trump is doing is leading a movement to restore power to the American people, starting with the smallest American people, the babies in the womb. We're going to talk a little bit about them tonight. We're going to talk about RFK Jr. He addressed the issue of abortion the other day. But I also want to talk to you about the most disgraceful thing that has been done so far in terms of President Trump, the most disgraceful words and actions that the Democrats have taken. And it's pretty hard to outdo them in disgraceful words and actions. But this is a doozy, in case you haven't seen it. And a little bit of word about Governor DeSantis as well, his recent meeting with President Trump, etc. A lot of things to talk about. Let's go right into the Word of God, because that's the context in which we not only comment on the news, we pray over the news on this program. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah 58 begins this way. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgressions, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no note of it? Behold, on your fast day you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I choose? A day for a person to humble himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes beneath him? You call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Instead, here is the fast that I desire: to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the straps of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless, poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover him, and hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, your healing spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry out, and he will say, "Here I am." Let us pray. This, Lord, is our prayer for America. That when we cry out, we hear you say, "Here I am." Lord, this is a religious nation. This is a Christian nation in its historical foundation and in the fact that most of our citizens still believe in you and pray to you and even believe in your word, the Holy Scriptures. We know we fall far short in action. But Lord, that is what we pray tonight, that this would not be a religious nation in name only or for show or in a superficial way. Lord, take the religious dimensions that we still have as a country and deepen them, we pray tonight. Deepen the roots of your word within us and make our fasting not just something that is external. Turn it into, as your prophet Isaiah says, a deep commitment to set free the oppressed. Because, Lord, in this current election season, we have a party that is oppressing us. We have a Democrat party that hates America. We have a Democrat party that is destroying this country. We have a party that is oppressing us, taking away our free speech, throwing peaceful people into jail, trying to imprison its political opponents. We live in a police state. This is a disaster. And Lord, we rise up as Isaiah speaks to us your word and says, cry out full-throated and unsparingly, lift up your voice like a trumpet blast. Lord, this is no ordinary election. This is no ordinary moment in American history. We are to lift up our voices like a trumpet blast against the violence that is all around us. Violence to truth, violence to our history, violence to our Constitution, violence to our freedom, violence to the unborn and to sacred human life, violence all around us. We cry out, not in despair. We cry out, not in panic. We cry out, not seeking to return violence for violence. No, we cry out as your people, the body of Christ filled with your Spirit, who came as tongues of fire, because whom the Spirit enters, the Spirit makes to speak. And we speak, Lord, because we have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish, but we have a vision. We have a vision of the sanctity of life and the value of freedom. We have a vision of the human family and the beauty of marriage. We have a vision of our Constitution and the limits of power that it places on our government. We have a vision of power returning to us, the people. Lord, we know what freedom is. We know what freedom is because we have your Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace and there is love. Not the shallow, sentimental kind, but the vigorous type that secures justice wherever it goes. Thank you, Lord, that this is America. And this is the fight for America. By patriots who are also believers. By citizens who are also followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name now that we pray. It is in his cross and resurrection that we find our hope and our joy. It is in his second coming that we hope. It is in his blood that we are cleansed, and it is in the fire of his Spirit that we work to save America. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, tomorrow, two, not one, but two President Trump rallies. Get the MAGA hats ready. RSBN is so great in covering these rallies, and we are happy to make them also available on PresidentTrumpRallies.com. So this is great. I'm going to read the social post, Truth Social. You have your Truth Social account, don't you, my friends? I'm at FR Frank Pavone on that platform, as on the other major platform. Here's what he posted. I am very happy, President Trump says, to have the full and enthusiastic support of Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We had a great meeting yesterday, arranged by mutual friend Steve Witkoff at his beautiful Shell Bay Club in Hollywood, Florida. The conversation mostly concerned how we would work closely together to make America great again. Also discussed was the future of Florida, which is fantastic. I greatly appreciate Ron's support in taking back our country from the worst president in the history of the United States. November 5th is a big day. So that was great, right? I'm sure you were happy, as was I, of seeing these two men come together. And, you know, President Trump is great in this respect of being able to welcome back people who for a while become political enemies. And, you know, there may be even insults exchanged back and forth. And, you know, political battles get heated, no doubt. But it is great to see this coming together. And it's a signal to the rest of us. I mean, I'm sure some of you in the audience are and have been DeSantis supporters in the primaries. There are all kinds of things that happen in political races that divide people. But this is a signal to all of us. It's not just about the two of them coming together. It's a sign that right now we've got to put aside rivalries that exist on our own side of the fence. There's all kinds of rivalries, divisions, and battles. And I'm not saying that these are battles that aren't, in some cases, important battles to fight. But not now. The key focus right now has got to be winning the elections. And we'll be talking about this over and over again. We've got to focus our energy. We have a limited amount of hours in the day. We have a limited amount of energy. We have a limited amount of words that we can speak. A limited amount of key strokes that we can put on the keyboard. Let's use our time wisely. Let's use our energy in a focused manner and win these elections. Now, I want to show you, first of all, I want to tell you about something that's going to happen tomorrow. This program is for Tuesday, April 30th. Tomorrow is Wednesday, May 1st. 6 months, by the way. May, June, July, August, September, October. That's it. We have 6 months to save this country. One of the things that's going to happen here in Florida has to do with the issue that I've devoted my life in ministry to full time, the issue of abortion, because the bill that Governor DeSantis signed a year ago, and it should have gone into effect a year ago, but it was delayed because of a court battle, is called the Heartbeat Protection Act. It is a law here in Florida that will protect babies in the womb starting at 6 weeks into the pregnancy, which actually means that the baby is only 4 weeks old from fertilization. Now, is it a reasonable thing to protect babies that young? My question is, since when is it extreme to protect children? I want to show you the baby at this particular age. I've been involved in a project for many years of bringing people face to face with the baby in the womb. I just want you to watch this for a moment. What you're going to see is not an animation. It's not an ultrasound. It's the actual video footage of a baby in the womb at the time that this law that's about to go into effect in Florida begins to protect them. Let's take a look and we'll chat about it a little more.
The heart typically beats about 113 times per minute. Note how the heart changes color as blood enters and leaves its chambers with each beat. The heart will beat approximately 54 million times before birth and over 3.2 billion times over the course of an 80-year lifespan.
Now, by the time of the age of that baby, as you just saw, okay, about 4 weeks after fertilization, do you know that that heart has beat already over a million times? That baby has the beginning of his or her legs forming, as well as the liver, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the trachea, and the five main sections of the brain are already visible at that stage. And we shouldn't be protecting the tiniest children? Friends, the law that's going into effect will be criticized by the pro-abortion groups. As President Trump has said, you know what? States are deciding this now. And if the people of a particular state and their lawmakers and their governor say, we want to protect these babies, There's no constitutional reason. There's no rational reason why they shouldn't. But this law doesn't ignore the parents in need, the moms who need help, especially if their pregnancy was unplanned. You know that this law, and you won't hear this from those who are criticizing it, allocates tens of millions of dollars to help moms and dads in need, to help families have their baby. We recently did a poll, we at Priests for Life, together with the McLaughlin group, that showed that most Americans think it's a very good idea to help moms who want to have their babies, to have their babies. Take away the pressures that would tempt somebody to have an abortion. Hey, friends, this is all very reasonable. And Florida becomes one of various other states that do already protect babies this young. And there's about 20 different states where either they're protected from conception or they're protected from when a heartbeat is first detectable. No, this is very reasonable. Let's celebrate the protection of life and let's help moms to make the right choice in these matters. Okay. Speaking of this issue, one other thing, Ben Shapiro recently interviewed RFK Jr. I want to play a section here and respond to it in regard to the abortion issue once again, because this shows the other side of the coin. The real extremists here are the Democrats. And RFK Jr. is right in this camp of the extremists on abortion. Listen to this exchange with our friend Ben Shapiro.
A pro-lifer looks at a position like a woman ought to have bodily autonomy, and they say that's completely missing the point. We're not talking about the woman's bodily autonomy. We're talking about the baby's bodily autonomy, which is obviously not only the pro-life position, but the position of many mainstream religions, including the Catholic Church. Yeah. And so when you look at pro-lifers who say, okay, well, I understand that you believe it's a tragedy, but on along those same baseline biological lines, it's not just a tragedy, it's a crime against the child, because the child has an independent interest. What do you say to that?
I say that I understand that position, and I don't agree with it. I think that that the solution of having the state come in and dictate choices that, that the woman is making is not, that's not a good solution to me. That I have a bureaucrat making these very, very difficult moral choices. I think that choice should be between the woman, her pastor, her spiritual advisors, the people who she consults in her life, and that it's a very, very difficult decision.
So you don't believe that the child has an independent right to life, for example, at any point during the pregnancy? I mean, how far is the right choice?
Well, here's what I would say, man. There's no woman who has a baby, who gets pregnant, carries that baby for 8 months, and then decides to have an abortion for some frivolous reason. They're in that kind of case, and nobody in their right mind would do that. In those kind of cases, there's some kind of those very, very rare cases where that happens. There's always some kind of extenuating circumstances that I don't feel prepared to turn that over to the government. So that, you and I all differ on that. And that's just a place where I differ. And I understand your position. I have tremendous respect for you for having that kind of that absolute moral clarity on that position. But I think it's more nuanced and complex than that.
All right, now think this through with me for one moment. The person who randomly shoots somebody on the street. Now, we all agree that's wrong. We all agree the law should stop that, punish that, and that person on the street walking, just taking a walk down the city street. They get shot by a shooter. And we believe that the law should not permit that, right? Okay. Can't you take his words just then and apply them to that circumstance? Nobody gets up in the morning and just says, I'm going to go shoot somebody in the street. The people who do this, I'm not going to put myself in a position to judge them. I don't know the harrowing circumstances in their life that would lead them to feel that they have to do something like that. And I'm not going to let bureaucrats make the choice of what they're going to do in extenuating circumstances that would lead them to do something like that. You can start talking about who's going to make the choice, You can start talking about what bureaucrats are going to do in the government. You can start talking about what's going on inside that person's life, their mind, their heart, their soul, the pressures, the confusion, the things that are beyond anything that we would ever know or imagine or experience that would lead them to do something like that, the desperation that leads them into a situation like that. Or you can fill in the blank. What about mothers who throw their babies out the window or drown their babies in the car or leave their babies in the toilet bowl at McDonald's? I don't want to enter into, you could hear RFK Jr. or any of the rest of us saying, the extenuating circumstances, the terrible pressure. The people just don't do that. They just don't wake up and say, for no reason, I'm going to throw my baby in the toilet bowl at McDonald's. There's something terrible going on in their lives. And listen, I'm not going to let bureaucrats make the decision for them that they can't throw their baby in the toilet. I want to know if there's a single one of you to whom that makes sense. Would a single one of you say that? Say, hey, listen, who am I to be judge and jury of the woman who drowned her child? Are there extenuating circumstances and pressures in their lives that we can't even begin to understand, that we only have to pray that we would never experience ourselves, that would make them feel, not some kind of flippant disregard for human life, but that would make them feel that that's literally their only option? Would we judge them? Are we judging? We're not even judging them. But friends, yes, the law has to protect that child. Yes. That child is its his or her own life, his or her own person. Yes. Why is it that only the babies in the womb are the ones we can't protect because there are extenuating circumstances in the lives of those who would kill them? Why are they the only group of people that we say this about? Not babies who are born, not teenagers who are murdered, not people who are shot in the street. Nobody else is denied the protection of the law. Nobody. And the people who do these terrible things, yes, we can understand that they're in extenuating circumstances, but we don't give them a moral pass to do it. Or, even worse, celebrate that act as a right. We have a president of the United States going around this country, disgrace that he is, and we've got these other guys running for president. They're not just saying, this is terrible, extenuating circumstances. No, they're celebrating it as a fundamental right. We have states like Florida with the pro-abortion people in Arizona, in Nevada, in Missouri, who are trying, like they did last year in Ohio and the year before in Michigan, to declare in the state constitutions that it's a fundamental right to put these children to death. Does that sound like, we can't judge it, it's extenuating? What do you mean extenuating circumstances? You're talking about a fundamental right. You don't need any circumstances at all. We have to stop being fooled. We have to stop letting our fellow citizens be fooled on this issue. These are children, and they deserve protection. Now, speaking of protection, here it is, friends. The most outrageous thing yet that the Democrats have said or done in regard to President Trump. Benny Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi. First of all, Mississippians, how does this happen? You elect a fool like this. You elect an idiot like this. How does this even happen? Benny Thompson, I hope I never meet you. You, there's got to be some kind of award for you. This really has to be some kind of award for you. Historical cluelessness, patriotic implosion, disconnect from every value of the human spirit. You absolutely trample down every last bit of human dignity that you have. Benny Tom, where does this, could someone please tell me, where does this man come from? He introduced legislation recently that would strip Secret Service protection from President Trump if he were to be sentenced to prison. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think that Even these corrupt judges, I mean, I don't put anything past any of them. These people are lunatics. But I really don't think there's a lot of people that want to see President Trump imprisoned, sick as they are. But I don't think they're going to be able to pull this off. I'm even doubtful if they'll be able to get a conviction. They're certainly trying because they want to be able to say, oh, you can't vote for a convicted felon. Oh, you bet we can. And we will. But I'll tell you this, if President Trump is put in prison, a lot of the rest of us are going to be in there with him. Not that we're going to do or advocate or condone any kind of violence, but I mark my words, we will be in there with him. And the point here is that they introduced this bill. Now, listen to this. Let me quote this. There's no word in the English language to describe this man, Thompson. Unfortunately, current law doesn't anticipate how Secret Service protection would impact the felony prison sentences of a protectee, even a former president. It's regrettable that it has come to this, but previously unthought of scenario could become our reality. Yeah, Benny Thompson, you know why this scenario was previously unthought of and it's incredible that it has come to this? Because of people like you. Because your party of lunatics has gotten into power and has become completely unhinged. Don't talk to us about how unthought of it is. Maybe you should stop and think for yourself how disconnected you are from what it means to be a patriotic American, even just a decent human being who looks at a man who has brought this country to the greatest point its economy has ever seen, the greatest point its security has ever seen, brought countless people out of poverty and off of food stamps and raised up their status in life and blessed their family businesses and secured their religious freedom and eliminated terrorists from the face of the earth and brought about unprecedented peace in the Middle East. This man should be honored by every person at every moment. I'm not talking about a political savior or a god. I'm talking about a man who has love for America that is unparalleled and who has accomplished things for America nobody else has been able to do. Other presidents have only been able to dream of, including Democrat losers. And you're talking about him like this? And you're treating him like this? And you're introducing a bill that you admit would apply to President Trump if he were to be convicted of a felony and put in prison? It's called, I got it right here, the disgrace, HR 8081, the Disgraced Former Protectees Act. Of the things I just mentioned that President Trump accomplished, which one of those accomplishments is a disgrace? Is it maybe the right to try that he put in place for terminally ill people, saving their lives because now they can try drugs that previously they couldn't? Is it what he did for our vets, the reforms in the VA? Maybe that's what's disgraceful. Tell me, what's the disgrace? Protecting you and your families by kicking the hell out of our country, the violent gangs that were in here that should have never been in here. Is that what's a disgrace from President Trump? Listen, I'm going to put my hat on the rest of this program. Listen, tomorrow there's going to be two rallies of President Trump. Let's watch every word of them. Let's spread them to others. Let's recognize that this is the greatest leader our country has ever had. And we, together with him, are running for 47th president of the United States. And if we, together with him, have to be thrown in jail ourselves, then to jail we will go. And we will vote for him proudly, even if he were sitting in a jail cell. Brothers and sisters, this is so outrageous that there aren't words anymore to describe this. There aren't words, but there are votes. There are ballots. Kick these Democrats the hell out of power. That's what we have to do. That's what we're going to do. I was reminded recently of these words. I want to conclude with G.K. Chesterton, because the Democrats who are in power right now, who are running to stay in power, they're lunatics. They're psychotic. They have broken with reality. You know, we looked at the baby in the womb. They say the baby's not a baby. Even in the latest stages of pregnancy, they say the baby's not a baby. They say a man is not a man. A woman is not a woman. How is it that we can say a man is a woman, not a woman? Because we've been saying a baby is not a baby through the fallacy of the right to choice, which is actually baby killing. But listen to this, because Chesterton, I mean, these Democrats, they say an illegal alien is not illegal. They say a violent riot is a peaceful protest. They can't tell the difference between anything anymore because they don't believe in truth anymore. Listen to Chesterton. I'll say this quote and then we'll go back into prayer. We shall soon be in a world in which a man may be howled down for saying that 2 and 2 make 4. In which furious party cries will be raised against anybody who says that cows have horns. In which people will persecute the heresy of calling a triangle a three-sided figure. And hang a man for maddening mob with the news that grass is green. Let us pray. The rejection of your truth is insanity. Deliver us, Lord, from evil. Your Son taught us to pray. And we ask you to deliver America from the evil of those who arrogantly dismiss truth, destroy truth, rewrite history, trash the Constitution, crush liberty, kill the unborn, and ask for our vote while they're doing all these things. What kind of an insanity, O Lord, have we reached? And how dark can the darkness become? We go back to what your word told us at the beginning of this show in Isaiah, the prophet, that we are to lift up our voices like a trumpet blast. Enough is enough. Lord God, root us in truth. Put truth in our minds, put truth in our hearts, and put truth on our lips. And put truth then in our hands, Lord God, as we fill out those ballots for President Donald Trump and for all those who are actually for America and for life, for protecting children, for education that actually educates our children instead of indoctrinates them in insanity. Help us, Lord. Free us, Lord. Deliver us from evil. We pray for one another and all the intentions that we have, and we sum up our prayers now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So tomorrow night I won't see you because we'll all be watching President Trump at his rally. Again, two rallies tomorrow, Wisconsin, Michigan. Tune in right here to RSBN. And then I'll see you on Thursday night. God bless you, friends. Get other people to know about praying for America, and we'll talk to you soon.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.